Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Sight. And a little vocally indisposed tonight with these allergies. But we're here. Inner Sight brought to you by the Big East Akita Rescue. 609-388-7004. Phone number. Big East Akita Rescue, Tom's River, New Jersey. Joanne Diamond, the Akita lady. And adopt an Akita. You need just a pet dog or a service dog. You get the right one, they serve you very, very well.
Yeah, they do.
All right, brought to you by the Third Eye Insight. You want to learn how to protect yourself, how to stay in shape? Call Devin, Third Eye Insight, 631-445-3464. And we thank him for being on our nursing home committee and for working to make it so that people don't have to go to nursing home or cannot go to nursing home. They won't be there. All right, Inner Sight around the world, brought to you by Nobody Starves on Long Island. That's local right here. Dog food, cat food, medical for your animal. Nobody Starves on Long Island. 631-484-3085. And you talk to my buddy Gary over there. Great, great guy who runs that organization on donations. Again, 631-484-3085. And Kennedy Realty, and I want to thank Mr. Kennedy for reaching out to try to help a woman who called me today, Ellen. And maybe Ellen will call in on the show. She needs an apartment. Getting out of a nursing home.
She
went to an apartment, and because her birthday is in December, 3 months away, they wouldn't give her the place.
That's so stupid.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff we talk about, you know.
Yeah,
I know. The stupid criteria. Mm-hmm. You know, the criteria should be help the person.
That's right.
Don't be so petty. Look at how petty these programs are. 3 months. You know? See? That's because a lot of people think well of the nursing home. They don't care if she stays there longer.
That's right.
So we're trying to help her, and thank you, Mr. Kennedy Realty. 631-888-1186. Buy a house, sell a house, get some good info, Mr. Kennedy. Hey, brought to you by all the beautiful children of the world. Corey Foster, Avanti Oquindo, Baby Royalty, Little Tommy, and all the children who perished in Texas. Go an extra mile for a child. Inner Sight reminds you. All right. And we still promote our idea to protect the schools. The dog, the trained dog at the door. Trained to detect firearms.
Oh, jeez.
So,
sorry.
Get with it, politicians.
Yeah.
Inner Sight. And let's see. That other kid, I forgot one kid. Can't think of his name right now.
Corey? No.
But anyway, no, I said Corey. Said Avanti. Texas children. One more child. Ollie Campbell, that's it.
There you go.
Ollie Campbell. All right, Inner Sight, and brought to you by Silo, Suffolk Independent Living Organization. We thank them for their help. We thank them for promoting our committee to turn the nursing homes into accessible housing. And if you go to their website, you can see the ad over there. The number to call if you're interested in the committee is 631-487-2038.
Yep.
So there's the number. You can find it on the homepage of Silo. By the way, I got an email from Jill telling me that she went to our website and couldn't find the petition. We got to fix that.
Yeah, we do.
That's got to be up there.
I don't know how I'm going to do that. The back end is really rough.
Well, we're
going to
do it. I don't know. We'll have to
find
out. Email Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
We thank him for paying for the website, but we got to get stuff up there.
Yeah, we do.
Especially that petition.
Yes.
So I answered her email, and I told her we're going to work on that.
That's a good idea, actually.
All right, Inner Sight.
Yeah.
Around the world, Inner Sight means freedom, advocates for the disabled. 631-224-3090 is our phone number. And we have two beautiful guests coming up.
Yes.
Michelle and Tom Krupa. You may have seen Michelle on the news some weeks ago. Her dog passed away at the guide dog school. And we're going to be talking with them and finding out what, if anything, is being done, or what they believe should be done.
Yeah.
So that's about 8:15 or so coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who see, who are visual, the whole world is visual.
That's right.
Everybody knows that. Everything is visual, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who see really can't grasp and understand what a guide dog is. I believe that. I mean, they may express it. They may say, hey, what a beautiful dog and all that, you know.
Yeah.
But they really don't understand what that dog means to a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And earlier this afternoon when I was chatting with Michelle,
mm-hmm.
she was telling me how Milton used to comfort her.
Yeah.
You know, and put his paws on her lap and comfort her and be there for her, you know, and just the kind of relationship that you have with your guide dog is very, very powerful.
Spiritual
and
too.
Unusual,
yeah.
You know, because that dog knows
mm-hmm.
that you can't see. They know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
and
do.
They know that they're responsible for you.
Oh.
So the relationship is just tremendous.
I never had a relationship with a guide dog before. However, I could tell you, you know, when I meet up with your dog, which I really do need a guide dog in the future, but right now it's, you know, a little pricey for me to just buy a dog or rescue a dog. Even some of them had on the rescue about $800 to get a dog because they paid for all the expenses. Well, I don't have $800.
Well, you can get a rescue dog for free.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay $800. But Michelle must have been absolutely devastated.
I would have been.
When they told her about
I would have cried.
Milton. You know, and I mean, you know, it's just the feeling that your whole world collapses.
Yeah, of course.
Take it from somebody who knows.
mm-hmm.
You know, all my dogs died a natural death. Milton didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a big difference
too.
Right there.
The only thing.
By the way, if you,
that,
if you want to call in, 213-816-1650. If you have any questions
mm-hmm.
for our guest coming up, you could call in and
yeah.
we'll recognize you. And we're waiting for Michelle and Tom to buzz into Inner Sight.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Whenever they want now.
Yep, they can.
So let's see. Oh, it's only about 8:09.
Yeah, it should be fine. 6 minutes.
I'm waiting.
So we're brought to you by James Bahamonde, attorney, civil rights attorney. 516-783-9662, James Bahamonde. And I want to thank Suffolk Bus Corp for all their help. And all of our friends. I want to thank Olga Murray. Next week, we have an appointment with State Senator Wyke to try to get her to endorse her idea on the nursing home.
I agree.
So we'll
be great.
Let you know about that.
Yeah.
Keep you posted. All right,
yeah,
in sight.
Get out of the house. I'm so excited about that, you know that?
That would help.
Yeah, it would help my breathing
and
everything.
Yes,
and I have to go. I'm sorry. I have to go, in about a week from now, I have to go and get allergy tested. Sorry. I had allergy tests as a kid. Why can't you use some of those and create a serum? But no, the doctor no longer works.
You don't need allergy. Just take the oil of oregano.
That's it, yeah. Probably. Easy.
I remember training with my first guide dog that I trained on my own.
Wow.
Mountain.
Must have been.
And the guy who worked with me, David Burke, was one of the best trainers ever.
That's good.
Because he cared about the people and he listened to people.
Right.
And he understood as much as possible.
I never knew
what it's like.
Right.
And what the dog means to you. What?
I never knew how hard it was to start losing your sight and your hearing and also a lot of your movement. So a lot of these schools are just saying, no, we can't do that because we do X, Y, and Z. Now, that really bothers me. If you do X, Y, and Z, well, why are you even asking for a donation and of the same program that I wanted to be in? It don't make sense to me at all. You know, you said there's no program.
Well, if they say they don't do that type of training with the money they've raised, they ought to find somebody for you who does.
Right.
But there's no regulation.
That's right.
So you can't make them do that. You can't ask them.
Not yet, at least.
To do that. There's no reg. There's no
And knowing my luck, Frank, you know what they'll do? They'll say, oh, we don't have a dog for you right now. You could wait on the list a little longer. That's how I feel. And I'm not happy about that either. I'd rather go to Inner Sight.
Well, they say that to a lot of people.
Yeah. That's right.
But can they prove that it's true? That's the other thing. All right, in sight. And check the board.
Yeah, I am.
See if our guest
chiming
in.
Yeah, I'm not able to get into this today so fast. I'm sorry, Frank. Okay. And yes, I don't recognize the number. Most likely it's your guest. Okay, you're
all right. So let's get Tom and Michelle on the air. Inner Sight Live. Show goes all over the world. Welcome.
How you doing, Frank?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, so far so good. It's been another
good.
One of those days.
Say hello to my co-host, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, how you doing after all this mess? Good.
Is Michelle there?
Yes,
Michelle is
I'm here. Hello, how are you?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Hi, I feel
well,
bad.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, I can only imagine how hard it's been for you having lost, 3-4 guide dogs in my lifetime. And it's never easy. Never.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
So, I would like to know, I haven't been able to get an answer to this question. Why was Milton sent back to the school?
Well, the situation was this. As you know, Michelle has a DNA defect. It's called Usher's syndrome, where
yeah.
she will be losing all of her sight as well as her hearing. She's already at less than 2% for sight, and she is about 98% deaf.
Wow.
With the help of hearing aids, obviously, she can hear you. But even that's, you know, it's diminishing at a much faster rate than they thought that it was going to happen. When she was accepted at the Helen Keller program for in-house residence program, they're going to be teaching her Braille. They're going to be teaching her how to survive in society once all of her faculties are gone. Subsequently, we were in touch with the Guide Dog Foundation, and we told them what was going on. And they asked us to bring Milton in so Milton could be retrained.
Well, no, yes and no. They also thought that it would be good for me to get used to a new lifestyle.
Right.
And so Milton would get used to sitting in a classroom again, and plus give me time to get used to a new lifestyle because I'm not home anymore.
Right.
You know, I went from sitting at the store, sitting at home, to going to classes, sitting in a dorm, and it's just, they wanted me to get a level of comfort first. That way, if I get stressed out, then he wouldn't get stressed out, and then it would be a big circle. You know what I mean? It would be a big spiral that if he felt me get stressed, he gets stressed. And then
I feel him get stressed, I get stressed. They
so.
Didn't... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michelle.
And that's it. If they asked, they told me that they thought it would be a good idea for me to have the most success possible at the school, that they should take him.
So did you go to the school with him?
No, I go to the Helen Keller program.
So do I.
Right, but you didn't go to the school with Milton, back to the school.
No. I dropped him off there, but I wasn't going with him. I was going to school, and they were
It seems to me, and I've been a guide dog trainer over 30 years. It seems to me that they would want to see the dog at the scene where you were. You know, send the trainer over there and observe what's going on. You know, I mean that's how I would have done it.
Right.
I don't know. I really didn't want to do it, but they said that they thought it would be the most successful way for me to move into a new chapter of life. And
Did you feel comfortable? Did you feel comfortable with it?
I didn't want to let him go. And I started crying. I said, I don't want to let my guide dog go. And they said,
you'll be reunited with him shortly.
Yeah, it is
only
just for a week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, you see, the idea here is, now again, there's no regulation.
No.
No.
So it's hard to deal with something like that. You didn't know that?
You would think that when you're dealing with an organization as big as the Blind Dog Association of Smithtown, that they would have systems in place. When the dogs come in, when the dogs go out, a double-checking system, some sort of system stating, hey, this dog's at the vet, this dog is here, this dog went out with so-and-so.
It should be, yeah.
And blatantly, there was no such system in place.
Right.
What I can't figure out for the life of... What I can't figure out for the life of us, and this goes for Michelle as well, is you have a dog. You take the dog out. You take him out on his training exercises. You come back. You realize that it's too hot for you to be outside, never mind the dog.
Right.
And then you leave him. And then you leave him in the van.
Yeah. Well, let me understand something, because I remember you told me, Tommy, that Michelle was texting the school for about 6 hours on that day? I got that right?
She was texting the trainer all throughout the day.
The trainer.
Wow.
What was the time frame of that?
It was at 10 o'clock in the morning till about 3:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
While the dog was trapped in the van.
Yep.
And the trainer said nothing to you, Michelle?
What?
The trainer didn't say anything to you about the dog at that time?
Not during the day. I mean, I just, like I said, that's the thing I don't understand. Not during the day. It's just she sent me a picture of him on Thursday.
Right.
Because I told her that I really, really missed him. So she sent me a picture of him on Thursday. And then on Friday, she said, you know, you've had a rough week. Why don't we go out to the Port Jefferson dog festival? So I said, that would be great. I miss Milton and, you know, all that other. And so we were texting about that. And no idea what was going on.
That was Jody, right?
That was the 22nd.
She said that was Jody.
Oh, Steve. Wait a minute, how did Jody get in? How did Jody get into this? Oh, okay.
I don't want to say anything.
I understand. But, you know, that's horrendous that they said nothing to you about the dog at that time.
Right.
Well, they called me up that night, and they said there was a horrible accident. They called me on the 22nd about 5:30.
About 5:30.
Wow.
About 5:30, and said there was a horrible accident, and Milton was unresponsive, and they rushed him to the hospital, and he passed away. So I immediately thought it was a car accident, and I said, "Oh my gosh, is like everyone else okay?" You know, thinking it must be really bad. And they said, well, wasn't that kind of accident? So I said, I don't understand what you're saying then. How can there be an accident if it's only him that passed away? And they said that he was accidentally left in the van.
Oh, I
think
how did you feel at that moment?
Exactly.
I said, that's not an accident. She killed him.
Exactly.
That was your first reaction.
That was my first reaction. I said, that's not an accident. I said, she killed him.
Why would they kill the dog?
Everybody makes mistakes. And I said, yes, I know everybody makes mistakes, but it is what it is.
Right.
Why do you believe they killed him?
I think it was just an accident. I don't think that anybody maliciously did it, but I just don't understand.
That's known by even your common pet owner not to leave any dog in that heat. It's a baby, a puppy, any dog.
I just don't understand how she came back and she was training with another dog inside and nobody noticed that Milton was gone.
Or that she didn't bring him in or that nobody saw and there's no place.
And he was in the parking lot of the Guide Dog Foundation.
Who was this other guy? Was he the director of training?
I don't know what he was anymore. I'm just, you know, it's all just a blur because I just started screaming at him. And he told me to call Tom. And he said, you know, you're scaring me. You're very upset. And I'm like, I'm hoping this is a cool joke because the Guide Dog Foundation wouldn't do anything like this. And this has got to be a sick joke.
Yeah.
So he said, please call your husband. This isn't a sick joke. I wish it was. Please call him. And so I called Tom. And then when Tom came home, he called up for me.
Now, let me ask you, was there any kind of police involved or investigation to try to find out what really happened?
That's going on now. As far as I know, I can't say so much because I really don't know much about anything.
You don't know.
What we were basically told is that it's being looked into, and it's an ongoing investigation. They can't give us any more information other than that.
Ongoing investigation by whom?
Exactly.
By the ASPCA.
Oh, okay.
Somebody called.
The ASPCA is investigating?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody
called them. And
yeah.
Somebody called them and they asked why I didn't call. I said I thought that the Guide Dog Foundation would have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
or
at least that's something.
But the animal hospital would have had to.
Yeah.
That's
what I didn't understand.
What did they say about getting you another dog?
They said, so they told the media, some of the newscasters had much more information than I had when they came and talked to me. So,
yeah.
They said that they would fast track me a dog when I'm ready. I got a phone call from a woman that said there's 2 yellow labs for September, which I'm going to be in school still. I know I'm just starting to catch on to Braille and computers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can stop right now to take 2 weeks out to go there, and I don't know if I can bring myself to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
I would be upset like that.
Why don't you tell them to bring the dog to you?
I did, and I talked to a few of the teachers there, and they said that it's a long day. It's taxing. I'm learning Braille. I'm learning computers. It's stuff I'm not used to, and I have homework. They kind of feel like right now I should just focus on school. I should focus on healing. I should focus on learning how to get around without a dog. I'm learning that now.
When you finish school, instead of you going there with bad memories.
You should bring the dog,
Maybe they can bring the dog to you and train it in your home.
That's what I don't know. I know the guide dog wants to. I don't know if the school really wants it because there's students and, you know what I mean, there's so much going on. Teachers might think it's best when I get done with school.
They have me set up for that too. Mm-hmm. I just finished with the computer stuff, and now I have to go for Braille, and also there was another thing that you were taking as well. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll see you there soon, you know, at school.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a very good program. I'm very blessed to be in. I never thought I would have an opportunity to have schooling like this. I mean, I'm learning Braille. I'm learning how to cook. I'm learning how to clean. And I know it sounds odd, but when you can't see and hear, I sometimes make a larger mess trying to clean than the mess that I started with.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
So they're teaching me Braille, they're teaching me computers, I'm learning how to go places, like with the cane, because I've always had like Tom, my kids, or the dog. So they're
how many children you have?
What?
How many children?
Yes, I have 4 children.
Oh, 4 children?
How old are
they?
4. They're 34. 32, 24,
up.
And 19.
Nice.
Are they listening?
No, they're in Jersey.
Oh, well, we go to Jersey. But, you know, it just has to be so disheartening to get a call like that. Now, how long was Milton at the school when this happened?
We dropped him off July 7th, and it was July 22nd.
They never told you all the way to that time?
3 weeks.
What did you say?
Wow.
I didn't hear.
I said they never told you, you know, till that time frame that the dog was, you know, neglected in the car?
No, the dog was alive until the 22nd, right?
Oh, okay.
No. He was alive until the 22nd, and that's when it happened.
Oh, boy.
So that's all I know is that he called that day, and that it's just, like I said, there's an ongoing investigation. I heard more from the news media than from them, which makes sense because, you know, they're still investigating.
Yeah. Well, see what they come up with, you know, but how are they going to enforce anything? You know?
Mm-hmm. I got a phone call from the International Guide Dog Association president,
and
he said that they're going to be making sure that the school puts forth the double-check system because it should have been in place from the beginning, but they thought since they're all experts, this would never happen.
Yeah, but the thing is, how are they going to do that without a law? They can tell them they're going to do anything.
That's true.
I don't... That's what I'm trying to...
Bring awareness to.
I mean, it's got to be...
I got a call from Senator Boyle. He's going into retirement, but he wants to bring about public hearings on the guide dog schools with the idea of passing legislation. I think we all ought to call him and tell him that we think it's a good idea.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, to try to get regulations and
you know what bothers me so much?
People.
With me, they didn't even, you know, Frank must have told you, they didn't even accept me to even be on the list for the guide dog. I had applied for that school, and you know, I don't want to mention them since we all mentioned it. It's enough mention. Anyway, I was wondering why they just said, oh, yeah, you have hearing loss, you have a vision loss, you have on a wheelchair. Well, I'm sorry, we can't help you because you have too many disabilities. Then I find out 2 years later that program was there for the longest time. And then they sent me over to Helen Keller, and also they wanted me to go upstate with that school. And I'm like, I still was shocked that they would say something like that.
Well, that's why there should be regulation.
Yeah, there should be.
So they just can't say anything they want and get away with it. They'd have to go before a judge and prove it.
That's true.
You know, somebody's life they're dealing with.
They don't believe
New York 832, Inner Sight, and we're talking with Michelle and Tom Krupa. How's the business going?
Yeah.
Business is good. Can't complain.
Good.
Yeah. Good?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I became a customer the other day. I wanted to impress you. See how honest I am.
That's right.
No, the food was good.
Thank you.
I didn't get a chance, but I'm sure I will get a chance to taste the food. I'm barely outside, rarely, because of just COVID and everything, and you don't know the laws, this, that, and the other thing. But Frank said, listen, we got to get you back, back functioning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, now, where do you go from here?
Right now, I'm just trying to become an independent person. You know, losing my sight, losing my hearing. I was a mom. I stayed home for 31 years. I was I didn't work. I stayed home. Then life happened, and I got separated and remarried. And during that time, my hearing and sight went. It's going very fast. It's going very rapidly. So Tom pushed to call the New York Blind, and they put me in touch with there. So I'm going to, for the first time, learn how to take care of myself. I've never taken care of myself. I've always had my mom, my ex-husband Tom, take care of me. I've learned how to take care of myself.
Before, I'm sorry.
What?
Before you sent Milton back to the school, were you having any trouble with him working?
No. At the store, he wasn't used to sitting still because of my lifestyle. Because at the store, I'm constantly up, I'm walking around. He was meeting people, he was getting to, he very rarely just got to sit. You know what I mean? He was just always busy. So, I don't know. They just thought because the lifestyle was changing so dramatically, the woman that ultimately everything happened just, talked to somebody there, and they said that they do this all the time with the foundation, that they work together, and that they find students that for the first few weeks bring the dog to get acclimated to sitting quietly, they do better. So that's what they told me. So they
it sounds like he was a little fidgety.
Yeah.
He
was a goofball.
Well, that could be corrected with obedience.
I think he would have been fine, but they convinced me that it was that I had to get my legs underneath me first. So, but they said that they do this all the time. That this is very common. That to give the students the most success possible, that the students need to get acclimated first. Because when I would get stressed out, if I walked with him and I got lost, I would, immediately start to panic. He would sense it, and he would stop, and he would lean on me, and then just kind of not let me move until I'd calm down, and then I'd pet him and talk to him. So they just felt like if I was getting stressed out, that would bother him. And then if I felt him get stressed out, I would get upset. And it would just be a spiral downward that I wouldn't succeed. That's what they told me. That's why he went back.
Well, it sounds like a normal thing. You get upset, the dog's going to react.
Exactly.
I get the impression that you...
I didn't want him to go because I said, what if I don't do well at school? Are you going to let me have him back? And they're like, of course we're going to let him have you back. It's your dog. So, that's what I mean.
I was just going to say that. You are giving me the impression that you didn't want the dog to go back to school.
No, I wanted to keep him with me.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you either.
Now, here again, not to be redundant, but if there were regulations, and you pushed the issue, and you said, no, I want the dog to stay with me. I want you to make the adjustment.
That's right.
Milton's going to stay with me. See, but there's no regs.
None at all.
So it's a difficult situation. Now, we want to honor Milton.
What happened?
Yes, we do.
Maybe get some posters made up of him.
You want to send Milton back to the school and look what happened.
You put on there whatever you want, I'd like to get the whole town of
Wishes,
Brookhaven, to do it.
Her
wishes.
Invite
the
media.
Even the shelter there. The shelter at Brookhaven is a massive shelter. I've been there for one of my dogs I rescued. And they are just huge. So that's one area that, I don't know, you can actually check on every single day to see if they have anything that can help you out.
Milton deserves to be honored.
Yeah, he does.
He's a very brave dog. He's like a soldier. He served Michelle, he had to be worried about her when he was apart from her. Knowing dogs as I do,
Frank,
I'm sure that
I got to tell you this story because you'll get a kick out of it, I think. When Milton would wear the harness and Michelle would be ready to go out with him or go wherever he needed to go, He actually stood a little taller, a little straighter, and he knew what his job was. He knew that his job was to protect and serve Michelle. He really did.
Yeah.
The moment that harness came off, Michelle would say, "He's your dog. I could take Milton anywhere without a leash. I could bring him to the park, and all I'd have to do was whistle, and he'd come right back." He was an amazing, amazing dog. He really was.
Oh, yeah.
I wish you could have got to meet him, because
he became
not only the mascot for us here at the store, but he became the town's dog. If we had kids that would come in, "Where's Milton? Where's Milton?" Even adults, "How come Milton's not here today? What's going on?" "Oh, well, you know, Michelle's not here. She's, you know, whatever."
I mean, he also had a sense like there would be some customers who, we're not going to mention names, that were alone all day.
And
they would come and they would sit at the seat next to me, but not at the same, over, and they would say, "Can I talk to Milton?" So I would let his leash a little long, and he would lean on them, and they would eat, and they would tell him about their day. And he just listened, and, and they would tell him.
He was just amazing.
Yeah, like,
he would just
let them ramble, and would just lean on them and just let them eat their food and talk to him, and then...
Yeah.
They would thank me and thank him, and they would get up and go. And there'd be children that came every weekend, and they would sit next to him, and they would talk to him about what they did all week. He just became everybody's dog.
Like a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any other callers, Suzanne?
No. We're good so far. Not that I see.
All right. What were you saying, Tommy?
Is that he was like Norm from Cheers.
No,
he would come in and everybody would be like, "Milton!" And it was
then I would say, "I'm here too. Am I invisible?" It was just always like, "Milton." And then everybody...
I used to like when the grandfather used to bring in the two little boys.
Yeah.
And they would come in and like, "Is Milton here? Is Milton here?" And Michelle would be like, "Oh, yeah, he's here. You know, right now he's out, you know, doing his business out and back or whatever." And they're like, "Oh," she would say, "but I'm here." And they're like, "Yeah, okay. Where's Milton? Can we go out and see him?"
Michelle, what do you think of the idea about honoring Milton?
I would love the idea. He was bigger than life, but I really want to make sure that there's something like a Milton's Law passed. I don't want anybody else to have to go through this. I wish there was a way to get, like, in the car, a button that you press, like there's a child or a dog in the car, that the doors don't lock until you check. I just don't know what the answer is.
Like a safety thing.
Like a safety net, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
Safety feature.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love him to be honored. Most of all, I want to make... I would love to get a law passed in his honor.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, a lot can come out of it, and...
Well, that's what we're hoping to do, just by bringing awareness. One of the things that made me laugh was we, and I don't want to mention which particular stations, but when this all first happened, we got contacted by Channel 12, who did an absolutely phenomenal job. Channel 12, Channel 5, Channel 2,
11.
Channel 11.
Yeah.
They did a story like it was part of their family, and I want to thank them for that, because they did a really great job on the coverage. There were other stations that were out there, and I'm not going to mention them by name. If we were basically told if we weren't out for blood, they weren't interested in the story.
Yeah. So the media was good to you.
Very good to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good to us.
Well, that's good. That means they would probably come and be a part of honoring Milton.
Absolutely. Right. I'm sure if I made the phone calls, they would come.
The one came with names and things, and I said, "Please don't do that, because I don't want to harm the investigation. Like, if you say something wrong and then it comes out there,
then
it's going to ruin everything that's happened. We need to know what the facts are first. We can't take somebody's word for it.
Right.
So they're
that's
like,
right.
Oh, okay, and they didn't do any of that stuff. They didn't say any names. They didn't give any details that I asked them not to. So
right.
I was very thankful.
Do you have confidence? Mm-hmm. Do you have confidence in the SPCA?
I know nothing about it, so I don't know. So far, I've
been the one that's been dealing with it, and the person that I've been speaking with, and I don't know if I should mention anybody's name, so
no.
I won't. He's
go ahead. Marshall, you can say
actually
anything
genuinely
you want.
Concerned.
Yeah.
He's genuinely concerned. He wants what's best for not only us, but for Milton. And he even said, he says, listen, he says, at the end of the day, you know, how the investigation turns out is how it turns out. He says, it's not personal. He says, this is how it is. You have to follow the letter of the law.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I agree with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it was a horrific, tragic mistake.
It
absolutely.
Is.
Okay? And I'm not saying for one minute that an individual should turn around and, should they get life in prison? No, of course not. Okay? But at the end of the day, you took something away from Michelle that she so desperately needs. And not only is it something that you need, but it was something that you can't really live without. She went for years being told different things, different scenarios, and she lived that whole entire life, and it wasn't until we got together where I started pushing her in the right direction. And they said to us, you've been walking around like this your whole life? And she's like, yeah. And she says, how? How? You need to have a guide dog. You need to have these tools. It wasn't even a want. It's a necessity.
Yeah.
And in one fell swoop, that was all taken away.
Wow.
But
yeah.
Like if they double-check system, it would have never happened.
See?
My dog is very much like Milton. She's very loving and sweet,
mm-hmm.
and caring, and she thinks. She's a big, thinks on her feet.
She
know?
Does.
And she's just a great, great,
remember
not
the
only
time
companion,
we were,
but a lifesaver.
Frank,
you know?
Remember the time we were being interviewed by that reporter, and we were trying to show the reporter what, you know, that she has to ignore me to get around an obstacle. Well, my wheelchair was broken, so I couldn't really show in truth what was going on, but Frank told me, oh, you're in a good spot right now. So I said, okay. And I saw the dog as much as I could come up to me and just give me this, like when I was bent down, this strange look. I still have some vision, thank God, but let me tell you, it's all blurry. So I'm having a tougher and tougher time each time I go back for the MRIs in my head. They're telling me that the lesions are getting bigger. So I'm like, oh, great. You know, more pronounced.
Well, what happened with that? Let me explain.
Yeah.
She went up to the wheelchair and what we call, she identified the object. You know,
right.
I was able to put my hand down and I knew there was something there. Then the
right.
dog waits for a command, and that's what happened. And she, you know, depending on what the command is, it could be about, it could be left, could be right, or it could
mm-hmm.
be hop up, which means keep going, in which case
yep.
she'll go around the object.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she did.
Yeah. Yeah, she went around me. But she looked at me strangely.
Mm-hmm.
I know you. Because we always go to the studio all the time, and she allows Frank, you know, has a little takes off the. She's still in, you know. To me, I think I asked Frank. I said, "Listen, can I pet her?" No, no is no. I'm getting ready to put the harness on. I wish I had a guide dog right now. I do, but I'm allergic to. He would get me one immediately, but I'm allergic to short hair. So I got to get one with long hair, either a poodle or a labradoodle or something like that. You know?
So you think the town will help us honor Milton? What's your thought on that?
I think so. A lot of people have come, and there's been a great outcry.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd like to speak with that councilman.
Mm.
You know, with your permission.
Absolutely.
And see if he will join us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think?
Right.
Is that a good way to start?
I think so.
Thank you very much.
I think
much.
So too. Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. I mean, he meant so much to me, and he meant so much to the people that come here.
Well, I know you're going to be the guest of honor.
That's true. When Frank says that, that's true. You will be the guest of honor.
I know. We have to have big poster of Milton behind Michelle.
There you go.
You know. And,
yeah. It's still hard. I still just expect him to come back. I just still want him. And I know it's been a month, but it's just still... I wake up in the morning, and I sometimes wake up, and I think, like, he's going to be there, and it's been a month, and I'm, I just miss him, you know, like if I went to the bathroom, he would wait it right outside the door, and I'd come out and walk me back to bed.
I
went from having him constantly to being alone.
How old was he, about?
He was three. He was going to be four in September.
Wow.
I got him in September 2020. I got moved up the list because they had Milton ready and they needed someone on Long Island. So since I had applied and I wasn't supposed to get a dog till many years, I was on the list, but I was down on the list. And since there wasn't a lot of people available, they called me, and that's how I got them. So I lucked out.
How long did you have Milton?
I got him in September 2020, so 1 year and 8 months, 1 year and 10 months, 10 months.
That's a long time.
Right? Yeah. So it was a bond immediately, like I felt like I had him my whole life, but it wasn't long enough.
Oh, no. It wasn't at all long. It's terrible.
Well, we're going to do our best to... let the world know how much you love Milton, how much he loved you, you know. And at the same time, try to make it so this never happens again.
No, I hope so.
So, and that's the thing we have to do is we have to bring awareness.
Yeah.
Like Michelle asked.
Tom, what I would like to do, if it's all right with you, I'd like to maybe get on a three-way call with that guy, Mike. And you could introduce me? Would that be
all
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd
be fine. So you let me know.
I will give him a call tomorrow, and we'll see if we can set something up.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know when is a good time. And,
sure.
And,
I'm back to school tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, we'll go forward. It'll be a very happy event.
That's
right.
Positive.
We need
something good to come out of all this. We've had so much bad. Now is time for the healing. Now is the time for, you know, getting
something done
so that it gets done the proper way, so that, like Michelle said, so no one ever has to go through this.
Right.
You know,
right.
His life
and
meant
I'm pretty
something.
Sure. Oh, go ahead.
His death has to mean something.
To everybody.
To everybody. It cannot happen again.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we can get a few politicians to get up there and say a few words. Get them to do something is another thing, but, you know.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, because they might be really strong. I don't know how much power these guide dog associations have. I don't know. They must get a lot of money. I have no
idea.
Oh,
yeah.
That they get.
And that's another part that I don't understand. You know, with the amount of money that they have, and forgive me because this is going to sound maybe wrong. Listen, not everybody deserves a guide dog. You don't go out and get a guide dog because you just want a pet. These are dogs that are needed for sight. They're needed for
PTSD.
Their need for hearing.
Yeah.
Their need for a plethora of reasons. I understand that not everybody can have one, and I do understand that. And listen, inflation is a big thing. You know, caring for the dogs is a big thing. We were told at one time, as the number has varied, anywhere between $60,000 and $80,000 just for the training and whatnot. You know,
That's right.
It's expensive. Yeah. But at the end of the day, people like Michelle need to have something like this.
There's got to be more dogs out there.
There has to be more
funding.
You know,
I mean,
they destroy dogs every single day at the pound.
Yeah, that's another thing. There's a lot of dogs that can make the grade,
and
the schools won't evaluate them and train them.
That's right.
And there are dogs out there that just want to be loved. And there's people out there that want to be pet owners. Then you have other people that don't want to be pet owners. Well, then you're not one that needs a dog.
Yeah, but there are people that want to be that just, like, I could never train a dog. I didn't know how to do it.
No.
You know, so, but I needed one. I wanted one. You know, so it's just, you know, it's just got to be more programs, got to be more teaching.
I never
That's
trained
right.
a dog in my life, but Milton used to do everything I said by command. He would, you know, I used to tease the kids when the kids came in. I said, watch this, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you two things that I taught him. And he would roll over on his back so everybody could rub his belly. And you know, everybody was
show
just like,
off.
How did you do that? I'm like, I just told him to do it, and he did it. You know, there's no real training.
But he just loves kids.
Yeah.
So. Loved being around children. He loved being around people. You know, and I'm going to go one further, and I don't want to embarrass Michelle, but we had a situation not too long ago where she was sitting out front of the store, and an individual came up to her and was getting, shall we say, just a little too close to Michelle. Well, Milton turned around and must have sensed something that was making Michelle feel uncomfortable, and he sat between both her and the person. But not just that. He liked
so you leave her alone.
Guy and guy.
Yeah. And then he stood up on the bench.
Right, and then he stood up on the bench because the guy moved over again, and Milton's like, I'm not having that. You're not going near my person.
Right.
You know, and then subsequently when I came out, because I had been out at the store, I had came out, and I said, hi, can I help you? And he's like, who are you? I'm like, no. Who are you sitting next to my wife? How can I help you? And we later found out that this guy had just left prison and the whole nine yards. So Milton, he sensed, he knew something was wrong. He knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he was standing on the, like, on the ledge, like, so I couldn't see him.
Right.
And he's just standing there, chest harness and everything, and I'm like trying to get him to move because I'm like, this really odd behavior. Like,
right.
It's got to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he was not budging.
He would not budge. And it was one of the first and only times I've ever seen Milton take possession of Michelle, whereas that's my person. You don't go near her.
Yeah.
I want to thank Milton from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank Tommy
too.
And Michelle for being here tonight. You know, and for telling
Frank,
a story.
We really appreciate the support that your program has given us. Susan, thank you so very much.
Nice meeting you all.
Thank you so much, all
Frank,
of you.
I'm going to call that gentleman we talked about earlier tomorrow, and we'll try and set something up, okay?
Thank you, Tommy. Thank
you,
Michelle.
Tommy.
I love you like a
Michelle.
Sister.
There you go. Take care, everybody.
All right. Inner Sight
Be healthy.
Means freedom.
Guys,
Advocates for the Disabled. Our Inner Sight phone number is 631-224-3090. And thank you so much. Join us tomorrow night for the funnies right here live on Inner Sight. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night,
Inner Sight.
Good night.